Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Real life is scarier than anything we can dream of, and we dream such frightening things. Sci-fi and Scream, Be Afraid, Be Very Afraid on Joy 94.9.
And welcome to another episode of Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9. Yes, indeed. Thanks again to White Noise, rocking out there with a Japanese band called Boris. I think I got that right. Yes, I got it right. Boris, with their song called Flare. And no, I'm sorry, I don't know the Japanese translation. Still working on that. And that was TJ, of course, and Keza from White Noise. Thanks, guys. All right, so here we are. It is November the 15th. This is episode number 87 here on Sci-Fi and Scream. And we are jammed, or I'm not going to say packed to the rafters. I'm not a fan of that show. That's just my opinion. But we're jammed packed. Yes, indeed. I've got probably about four or five interviews to play this evening, so we better get our bones rattling and move along with that. But first up, I just want to welcome a guest I have in the studio with me. James Andre, I hope I've said that correctly.
That's right, yeah.
Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream.
Thank you.
Now, the reason James is here, one of the reasons, apart from his lovely, I should say, better half, without upsetting you, James, sorry.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
Matilda has brought him along. They've found their way to the Joy Studio here on Bourke Street in Melbourne, and they're here to discuss, James is here to discuss his project, his Baby Milk Shadow Books and Comics. Or is it Milk Shadow Comics and Books?
Milk Shadow Books.
Just Milk Shadow Books. Excellent. They're based here in Melbourne, which is very good. Because tonight we're going to look at, as much as we can fit in, time-wise, comics in Oz and just what the deal is and the phenomenon that is happening here. I came across James, of course, at Armageddon just a few weekends back, and there was the special section there with Australian comic artists and creators and writers.
Yeah, artist alley thing.
Artist happening. Alley thing. That's what it was called. Yeah. Right. Not a bowling alley, but an artist alley. And it was interesting to come across all you guys. So the first question I have is, I think I've already said one question, but can you tell us about Milk Shadow Books and that label, in particular the underground comic anthology you bring out called Yuck?
Okay, yeah, well, like Milk Shadow Books is basically start off just as a self-publishing, like little vanity thing that I was doing, and it kind of grew out of that. It's just to publish the writing I was doing, and sort of, I like to call it a vanity publishing label gone wrong, because I actually started publishing other people. Okay. So yeah, so I sort of started Yuck to do little interviews and stuff with local musicians that I thought were kind of in the Yuck vein, which kind of, I guess, is self-explanatory, like messed up musicians and filmmakers and stuff like that. And I started doing interviews, but I wasn't really very good at it. So I basically took the underground comics that I had in it, basically so people didn't hurt me because I didn't use their comics. So I put them in it. They were all pretty good. Because they've obviously put a lot of work into them. So I started putting it together, and I turned the whole thing into just a comics anthology.
Oh, right, cool.
And so, and I sort of, I didn't just keep it Melbourne-based. I got people from all around Australia and also all around the world eventually to put stuff into it.
All of this is online too, so people can see exactly what you have in the anthology as well. And how many books have you brought out to date?
We just brought out the fifth and sixth volumes, which were kind of, I guess, sister volumes, because sort of got enough material to put two out so at the same time. So, and they've kind of got a couple of stories in there that kind of cross over each other.
Radio is obviously audio. So visually, trying to get a picture of what Yuck looks like. If you can't get to Facebook, because you have got a friend's Facebook
page. Yeah, I've got
Milk
Shadow Books, which is, if you do that, all separate words, into Facebook, you should find us, and you can like that page if you want, and
like
keep up
away.
With... Yeah, give it a good like. And yeah, and
just today, I think.
Yeah, we saw you on there. Yeah. So, and we've got a website as well, which is milkshadowbooks.com. We'll give that a little plug in there. But yeah, you can go on there. It's basically like, well, Yuck itself, which is one of the things we do, but that anthology is kind of like Mad Gone Wrong. I guess it's throwing back to like all the stuff that was like Zap and stuff like in the 70s that Robert Crumb was doing. going, and yeah, cool. all those kind of ones. So it's yeah. still keeping in that sort of vein, but with modern, I guess, themes and people, like modern artists sort of doing stuff in there. So yeah, it's just basically like a messed up version of Mad.
Why did you come up with Yuck? Was like, there any reason, well, story behind that?
No, it's just all those ones have got like those kind of names, like Mad, Zap, there's like Crap, I think, which is, I think it's all just one guy doing that. But yeah, they've all got that kind of just one sort of name.
It's just, yeah, it's stuck.
Keeping up that tradition, I guess, yeah.
Yuck stuck,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so visually we're talking in the style of Crumb, but you were actually inviting artists to dedicate their artwork, so it's pretty varied.
Yeah,
stylistically.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, there's some stuff which is almost like clip art. Like, there's a guy in Melbourne, Matt Emery, who does some clip art stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. he does comics as well, but there's that sort of style through to more street sort of stuff, like really messy sort of stuff through to really polished sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't really like restrict it to anything. I just like to put in sort of, I don't know, as many local guys as I can as well, but whatever sort of suits the theme and whatever I can get, really, that's sort of good.
It's sort of like your own background. When did you get interested with comics? Turned you on to those?
Mad Magazine was like a massive one when I was a kid, but just like Marvel and stuff like that. I like all the cheesy superhero stuff when I was a kid. It was just fun to do. Like, I used to buy a lot of like really cheap. There were like these anthologies put out in Sydney. I think they were by these guys called Murray in the 70s. They're like reprints of American horror comics and stuff.
So they're made in Australia?
Yeah, they were like reprints. So I think they'd buy them really cheaply and they'd print them really cheaply on newsprint. And you could often find them like, you know, badly conditioned sort of copies, like secondhand shops and all that really cheesy sort of, you know, Talisman the Crypt type stuff. I always loved.
Oh yeah, I love the covers for those.
Oh yeah,
they're just out there.
And for the 50s, they were pretty recent.
Yeah, I think so. The goriness, that was the element I was looking. The
it's
goriness
great.
Is quite, it almost like superseded or preempted a lot of horror films, I think.
And then they all got banned for a long time, so yeah.
Bizarre world indeed. Yeah. Now, are you a collector as well?
Yeah, I collect the stuff. So, like, I sell a lot of stuff on the site as well. But yeah, I collect it to read it. Probably get too much stuff, but yeah, so I try and get as much stuff as I can.
Matilda is nodding. Matilda's in the studio, actually. She's a quiet observer, I think, here tonight on Sci-Fi and Scream. She's nodding her head about the too much collection going on at home. But
my mum would be doing the same, and my grandma too, and everywhere where I've got stuff stored.
Well, I hope they're listening. If you may be a comic artist yourself and you're hiding somewhere at home and you really don't know how to go about getting yourself published, which is the next question I'll ask you, but go to an interview I've got to play, and that is, as an artist, how hard is it to get published?
It's pretty hard in Australia. There's not like that many sort of venues, I guess. I mean, like, we'll always look at work and the stuff I'm doing because we're kind of expanding now and trying to publish, you know, more people's work. But self-publishing is a really good way to go, just to get started and sort of get your chops up a bit and work out what sort of works and what doesn't. Like, that's a really
good way. Is that why you did it? You decided, look, I need to be exposed. I need to expose myself.
Yeah.
In a comic sense.
Well, I try to expose myself as much as I can, but
warning. but you had to do it yourself in order to do that. Yeah.
I sort of was lucky because there were a few people that were doing their own publishing thing, so I could kind of get short stories and sort of short comics into that as well. It's definitely good to self-publish. And just, you can do that through your local printers generally.
Yeah. Or you can look you guys up and
you can submit stuff to us. We'll have a look.
Have you got any advice for people?
Yeah, we'll even if, you know, if we can't sort of help you publish it through us, we can, you know, shoot you in the sort of right direction, hopefully.
What you can say, shoot them, but no. We don't condone violence on the show, even though we look at horror. Now, the other thing was, what do you think of online platforms? I'm no expert about comics online, where you actually see the whole comic and...
It's a good way to get out there. I mean, if you want to kind of, I guess, even though there's not that much money to be made, like, I don't know about charging for web comics and that stuff. I've never really sort of gotten into that. But yeah, ebook readers and all, I guess they're, you know, the way of the future. But I still like physical, paper sort of based.
Turning the page. For some people, that's exercise, I guess.
I imagine. It's never going to be replaced. I don't think it's not like movies and music, I guess. They're more internet based, you can do now. But I think comics are always, they're not like an electronic media traditionally. So they really suit just a physical, like, media or a platform.
Yeah, paper, ink.
Yeah.
That seems to be
the way they look the best.
All right. So how's Yuck doing? Like, I'm not going to ask you about finances, but I mean, you have kind of hinted off air that it is, sometimes it's a struggle, sometimes it's tough.
Yeah.
How is it positioned?
It's okay. I mean, you try and just keep putting it out. Obviously, when you start off, you know, you'll sell like 2 copies and then the next one, hopefully you'll sell 4, but it's okay. Like, it's getting, I'm trying to get it out more overseas and stuff like that now. And I can sell through the website and stuff like that. So I'm a bit more set up to actually sell copies of it now, and you sell it well through conventions and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So, it sells okay. Like, it's, people, when they pick it up, they either love it or hate it. Obviously, the people that love it, hopefully they come back and buy more.
Play very shortly an interview I had with Carissa Avenhouse. Now, Carissa, of course, is behind, or one of the founders of Hub Productions, and they're bringing over, combining with the San Diego Comic-Con people, Oz Comic-Con. So basically, she's told me it's Comic-Con in Australia. What do you reckon about that? Are you looking forward to that?
It's a great idea. Yeah, no, it needs to be done with just a kind of a show that's just solely on comics. Like, how much they'll do that, it's yet to be seen. But I mean, they've got some pretty good guests coming out.
Yes, some exciting ones too.
Yeah, some big pretty ones. Big names there, I guess. So yeah, it should be interesting. As long as they can kind of keep focused on local guys as well. Like, you don't want to just be cut out with just, I guess, overseas content and like overseas artists and just the more really commercial stuff. It's like, if they can keep it focused on local people,
have
as
another
well.
Alleyway,
yeah,
maybe like a big alleyway,
a big, or yeah, big, you know, a big platform for local guys to come out, because I mean, they're the people that read the stuff as well, so it's not just like, you know, the people just read, I don't know, Spider-Man, they're going to be there. It's going to be like local people that read underground stuff, so if you kind of cut them out, it's not good for anyone, but hopefully they won't.
Well, we'll be back shortly with a bit more of talking to James, and of course I'll play the Carissa Avenhouse's chat to me that we had only yesterday. And you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hi, my name is Colin Ferguson. I play Sheriff Jack Carter on Eureka, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
I'm Lucky McKee, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
And welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream, number 87. And this evening we're speaking to Carissa Avenhouse, one of the organisers of Hub Productions. Tonight we're looking at comics, but one of the really interesting and actually fantastic announcements in recent weeks has been the announcement that Comic-Con is coming to Melbourne. I have on the line with me Carissa Avenhouse. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream.
Hi, how are you?
It's great to have you on the show. First off, you are Hub Productions.
I am behind Hub Productions. I've been working in event for over 12 years in Australia and overseas. Started Hub Productions because Australian audiences weren't getting the actors they want to see. We've just launched Oz Comic Con as well.
I think a lot of people are pretty excited about that. Indeed. Some of the announcements.
Very happy.
Yeah. Now, you describe yourself online, I've seen, as Queen of the Geeks. And you call yourself a fan. Do you still call yourself a fan?
If you did the business and you weren't a fan, then you're in the wrong industry. You have to have a love for what you do. When it involves sci-fi, fantasy, pop culture,
that's good to know, really. Yeah, it gives us confidence, I think. And so Hub Productions, what I've seen online, basically help bring talent of that sort of genre to Australia to satisfy the needs of fans and geeks all over Australia, which is fantastic. And now, 2012, along comes first ever Comic-Con to Australia. Is that how you would describe it?
Yeah, basically our model of Expo Style event is based on the Comic-Cons that you get in Canada, the UK, the US. It's something that is such a well-known, iconic name, describes the event perfectly. People know and understand it immediately. And for us, it's a great way to, you know, really highlight all the different genre content that fans are interested in, from comic book to anime to sci-fi and fantasy actors. We're going to have all sorts of exhibitors, masterclasses, anything that you're interested in that pop culture, you'll be able to find it there.
As tonight we're looking at comics, I guess what's really interesting is you've described on the website that aspiring comic creators will be able to submit their work, Australians that is, for professional reviews with Scott Alley from Dark Horse Comics, and he's the senior managing editor. So he's going to be there. He's going to scout for new talent. That's fantastic. How did that come about?
I've actually known Scott for a very long time. I know from experience, as this coming 2012 San Diego Comic Con will be my 19th Comic Con. I've been going for a very long time since I was 14. And for me, to be able to actually bring a little bit of that over here, because when you get to go to the US version, they have all the different companies set up portfolio reviews. That way they get to have a look at talent, give advice, or they can sometimes even offer work on the spot. And that's how Nicola Scott basically got discovered. It was able to grow her career so rapidly. Okay. She made a pilgrimage to Comic-Con. She met with the portfolio review from DC, Marvel. She went back, came back with a great portfolio and was able to pick up amazing work straight away. Through Dark Horse, actually, with their Star Wars comic.
And why do you think it is that it's taken so long for something similar to happen here? Established comic groups come out to Australia.
I would say it would be the cost.
Simply the cost.
It's simply the cost. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't want to invest money in something that they don't view as an immediate financial return to them, which unfortunately, doing any type of event is a business, and you have to have checks and balances and make sure it all comes out at the end. However, I have been very active in the Australian comic industry for quite some time. My husband is actually a comic book writer. Cliff Scott, a very good friend of mine, as are many other Australian artists and writers, and I don't feel that they get the credit that they're due. The Australian industry is small, but it does exist. And today, with things like the internet and being able to interact via Skype and things like that, there's no reason why Australian artists and writers should not have the career opportunities that anybody else does. So by bringing Scott here, it'll give him a chance to talk about how he started in the business, what projects he's interested in working on, what he looks for, and then also to be able to give that one-on-one advice and possibly discover some new talent.
I think it's a great idea, and we need to see more of that. I know the internet are very important to promote anything, but sometimes you just need the actual physical, I think, interaction.
That is true. Unfortunately, with the internet, they do get bombarded with a lot, and copyright's always an issue. But this will give him an opportunity to assess talent, and he's in charge of some really amazing books. I mean, one of my all-time favourites is Hellboy, and I think he's an amazing job in guiding that over the years.
And so successful, like, incredibly.
Very successful. Incredible. Very successful. Mm. And in his own right, Scott is also a talented writer, so he's had some really unique and interesting books come out, and he's contributed to a lot of interesting books as well. And so having someone who not only writes but also edits and is in such a high position at Dark Horse, he can really say what the future is for comics and what they're looking for.
You yourself, I mean, you mentioned Hellboy, but do you have a favourite comic?
The Boys is pretty up there for me at the moment. I mean, I love classic superheroes, but things like Kirkman's Walking Dead, I've been a long time fan of that. Classic stuff like Transmetropolitan, those are the things that I really, really, really love. I have a huge collection of comics.
I bet.
Yes.
In the family too, isn't it?
Necessary Evil.
What else is going to be at this point? What do you know of the lineup at Oz Comic Con?
We will be having a number of the Australian artists. So Nicola Scott will be attending, Stuart Penny, people like Douglas Holgate, Kira, Red J will be there. But we've also got Francis Manapul from DC. We've got Agnes Grabowski, who does an excellent indie book called Zombie You and Me. We also have, we're basically the godfather of the comics, and we're very lucky to have secured Stan Lee.
Yes, Stan Lee. I mean, it's incredible. He is still going strong, is he not? He's still very prolific.
He is more vibrant. We had a meeting with him at Comic-Con, and he had been pumping it all day. He'd had panels, three different signings, an appearance at a booth, did a TV interview about 5:30 in the evening, and he was still on fire. He is amazing, absolutely amazing, and so funny, so gracious. It's really going to be a treat for the fans. For a lot of people who don't have the opportunity to go and see him, and even if you do go to Comic-Con, the likelihood of actually getting to get an autograph or anything from Stan is near impossible because, as I said, there's 150,000 people who all want the same thing. So having him come out here would be, it's just a really unique thing for us. It definitely will not be the insanity that any of the of the US big events would be, no. And for him, that's great because he does like to spend time with the fans. Even now of, you know, the outpouring of affection for his work. Mm. He absolutely loves it.
He's totally a living, I was going to say artifact, but icon. Definitely an icon. And I think the buzz is already starting. I'm having people go, did you hear? He's coming. It's like Spider-Man's coming himself in person. Kind of is, in a way.
He is. I mean, he's created so much. The tapestry of characters that has come from his imagination is amazing. Everybody's just going to be there in absolute dumbfounded silence, mesmerised when he's giving his Q&A. He's just that amazing.
It's Godhead. It must be.
thing.
It is pretty much like that.
He touched this chair, he sat there, and that was the pen he signed with. I can see it now.
Sometimes it's a little bit like that, but it's going to be a wonderful experience to have Stan here.
Oh, I can't wait. It's very exciting. I'm getting goosebumps right now, which is useless on radio. Well, probably a good thing because you can't see it. Yuck. And, of course, you got Patrick Stewart, the man with those beautiful tonsils.
Armin Shimerman is coming from Star Trek and Buffy.
Ooh.
We also have an amazing artist by the name of Jason Palmer who does a lot of pop culture artwork. I know that he's doing some work with Game of Thrones for the DVD release.
Yeah, right. And that's going to be exciting.
Serenity, Firefly, that kind of Sean Marr from Firefly. Yeah. We're just about to announce tomorrow, and it's been exclusive for you. Korea will be joining us, who has been in amazing projects like Wayne's World and True Lies and Relic Hunter, and recently in Warehouse 13.
Yeah, love Warehouse 13.
But, I mean, it will definitely be something that's geared up to more towards also education, learning, understanding, promoting the Australian talent. There is going to be something for everybody, but yes, comics is something that is a little bit lacking, unfortunately. It is such an important and vital part of our culture.
Yeah, excellent. Oh, thanks so much, Carissa, for talking to us tonight on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
No problem.
Appreciate that. And we'll be in touch and with more exciting news in the future.
I'm Japanese, Nishimura Yoshihiro desu. そして
And this is Mark Walko, and we are from Sushi Typhoon.
Yay! This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Isabel Carmody with Sonia, Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9. Just prior to those announcements, we were talking to Carissa Avenhouse, yesterday, and just her mentioning the new Oz Comic Con coming to Australia's shores next year, 2012. Now, James Andre's here, and he's from the comic establishment, or books, Milk Shadow. Here you are.
Yep.
What do you think of the fact that we are getting something like Oz Comic Con?
Yeah, it's a good opportunity. I mean, it's a good idea to get the sort of the Scott Alley to, you know, come out and look at people's portfolios and stuff like that. Hopefully a few people get picked up locally from it. Yeah, it's always good. And it's different just to getting, you know, an artist or a writer out here. It's good to get an editor out here and get some feedback on portfolios and stuff like that. So, yeah. And apparently, I think Stan Lee's coming.
Yes. So Spider-Man himself.
Yeah, the man.
The man behind it all.
Yeah, so he'll be coming out. I don't know if he's been to Australia before, but yeah, it should be pretty good to might try and get something signed. I don't know.
Ooh.
Maybe I don't have any really thing valuable, but yeah, something, scrap of paper.
Like, some spandex.
A
Spider-Man suit.
Might be.
Matilda's laughing because she knows there's one at home in the wardrobe.
There is. It's a bit small too.
you got to be ingenious. I'm sure you'll find a way. And I mean, it won't be as huge, obviously, as Comic-Con. It's not like 150,000 people per day. So I think the odds are better for fans to meet and greet people like the wonderful Stan Lee.
Yeah, well, yeah. So. It'd be interesting to sort of see his manner in life. I mean, I guess it's at a convention, but, you know, hopefully he does something outrageous. So it'd be interesting to witness that you wouldn't normally expect.
Yeah, cool. Well, I'm going to have to play another interview I had, and it's with another Australian. This is DK, or Darren, also known as DK, but also Dark Oz and his anthology that he does, DK. Do you know Darren at all?
I've seen it in the shop. I don't know Darren. I've seen it in the shops, and I know a few people that have submitted stories to it and stuff.
He's in Adelaide. So.
Yeah, he's a Adelaide guy, so I haven't really had too much experience with the anthology or anything like that. I've seen it in Minotaur and stuff like that.
Oh, that's good. Is your anthology Yuck?
Yeah, yeah.
That's also out in stores?
Yeah, I have it all the local sort of usual traps.
Just stay tuned, because this is the interview I had with the Dark Comics founder, and this is DK in Adelaide, and this is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. So welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream. I've got another interview here, especially for tonight's episode. It is with the Dark Oz Comics Australia, that is, and it's Darren, or DK, I believe. Is that what you like to be known as?
Yeah, that's what DK? Most people call me. My initials are DK, so yeah.
So, yes, indeed, DK is here on the line from Adelaide, and it's an Adelaide-based publishing and graphic design company here in Australia and is unique to Australian comic books. A flagship comic book, DK, or is the horror anthology that they create. So welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Thanks a lot.
Saw you, like I mentioned off air, I saw you at Armageddon here in Melbourne pretty recently, a couple of weekends back. And since then, you've been where? Was it Supernova?
Yes, we went to just 2 weeks after the Melbourne Armageddon was the Brisbane Supernova.
That's cool.
That's a huge show. Brisbane is bigger than either Sydney or Melbourne.
All right, let's look at Dark Oz Productions. You're based in Adelaide, South Australia. What can you tell us about it? It's a horror anthology, is that right? Is that what Decay is?
Yes, correct. Decay, the horror comic or Decay. Yeah. It's an anthology. It's our flagship title, so Dark Oz Productions. We will produce other titles in the future. We've done a couple of small ones, but yeah, for now, DK is our main ongoing title, pretty much bi-monthly. We've had 10 issues come out in almost 2 years. You get several stories per issue. Originally, we were aiming for around 5 short stories per issue. Lately, we've been including some very short 2-page stories, so you're actually getting around 8 to 10 stories per issue. That was mainly to give a lot of extra artists a chance to get some work published sooner rather than later.
And Dark Oz, you've only been around a couple of years, is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. You've got, you call it your flagship, and you've got a lot of artists from South Australia, Adelaide, or further afield?
All around Australia.
All around.
Quite a few Melbourne artists working on it. People from Brisbane, Perth, Alice Springs, everywhere. There's even a few international artists as well. We mainly wanted to keep it all Australian, but every now and then you've got to have some international flavour in there, just a bit of variety, and also spread the word overseas as well.
And what would be the main, put up the website on our Facebook, which is www.darkoz.com.au, so people can see some of the amazing graphic artwork here.
Yeah.
But what would you say would be the main flavour of Dark Oz?
It's definitely horror bait. There are elements of science fiction and fantasy. It's quite varied, but overall definitely a horror comic, and for mature readers as well. It's not a kid's comic. We're in a lot of violence, a bit of nudity, but mainly our aim was for horrific stories, and that's what we're aiming for, trying to go for something fairly serious, I guess.
No, it looks fantastic because, you seem to have subject matter. There's zombies as well.
The zombies fit in perfectly with the title of the DK, rotting flesh.
Now, you yourself, are you an artist too, just to clarify?
No, I'm a terrible artist. I wish I could draw as well as some of these people who are working on DK. I've been collecting comics for over 20 years myself, and always had the dream of making my own one. A couple of years ago, I was in the position to get started, so I did. I write a lot of the stories, so I'm the editor, the publisher, distributor. I write a lot of, not all of them. There's quite a few other writers involved as well. In fact, there was one issue where it's a 52-page comic or magazine, and issue 7, I actually only had 1 2-page story in there myself.
Okay.
Some of the issues do look like they're mostly written by me, but I do try to put a bit of variety. I am still learning as well myself to write. I'm always open to a bit of feedback, criticism. I claim to be a professional writer. It's just like I'm writing my own stories, publishing my own stories.
Yeah, well, certainly to do something like this, you've got to have a lot of passion and drive, and you must have that in bucket loads. Put something like this out and to do it off your own bat. Of course, you've got plenty of support as an artist by the looks of it. But I mean, it's amazing. It's remarkable that you are doing something like this.
Yeah, it is a lot of hard work. When I first started, I kind of thought, I'd write a few stories, get some people to draw them, and it'll all just fall together. But every issue is a lot of work in putting it together. I even have designers who lay out the comic for me. I couldn't have got as far as I have done without the help of Dave Heinrich. He's a local Adelaide graphic designer. He's absolutely brilliant in what he does. He's done a couple of the covers that you'll see on the website, and I've just been so incredibly lucky overall with the amount of people who've been willing to help and support it. When you look at the website, you'll see some of the incredible covers by some of these guys are top professional, some of the best creators we have in Australia who've worked for Marvel and DC. To have them working on the comic, it's just absolutely amazing. The longer the comic runs as well, the more interest it generates.
So some of the names of some of the artists, I mean, I'm totally ignorant, but who are some of the people you've got as contributors?
Okay, well, Dave Heinrich, Franz Cantor, he's a pretty famous Melbourne artist. Glenn Lumsden, who's done work for Marvel with Phantom, and James Fosdyke, who's won the DC Zuda Award for their online comics. Michael Dukowicz, Alistair Lockhart, Greg Holfield, Paul Abstruse, Jason Porlock, Jason Franks. If you go on to to the website and look at the creators page, it just lists everyone who's been involved. They're not listed in any particular order, but some of them are some pretty big names which get a lot of recognition. Another couple of people have been very supportive. SCAR, their initials SCAR, Steve Carter and Antoinette Ryder. They've been very supportive from the start, as well as a friend of theirs, Tanya Nichols, whose work is in almost every issue. Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant.
There is a little thing saying, which sounded quite urgent, which got me a little bit concerned, saying, urgently seeking funds to continue printing Decay, which promotes the works of dozens of Aussie creators. Yeah. Looking for people to help out there. Are we talking, is this serious? Like, without, you know, putting you in a spot or anything?
Going next year, I may have to cut back. Instead of being bi-monthly, may go to quarterly. I'd like to continue publishing bi-monthly, and if anything, release even more titles. We've got a one-shot Sisters comic coming out. That's about three vampire sisters. It's quite brutal and bloodthirsty.
Sounds good.
Yeah, nothing like vampire.
It's not Twilight, then.
No, absolutely not. No romance, just ripping people to shreds and drinking blood. We wanted to release an old zombie miniseries, which we're still working on, but again, because of lack of, I guess, funds, you know, I've been funding this all out of my own pocket. And I guess the sales are okay, but they could be better. Ideally, that would be the main key, is to increase sales, make it more viable and have more money flowing in. But at the moment, I am struggling to put it together. I won't stop, though. I will keep it going.
Yeah, that was my next question.
Yeah, drop in regularity.
Now, I also noticed on the website, certainly, your interest in film at some point. Is there any developments there? I mean, just...
In film?
Yeah, like, I think I read somewhere on the site
it is on the site. Well, the first couple of things we've been doing some reviews for other companies who offer, give us, gifts for free competitions. So I would love, a lot of the artists and creators who work on the comics as well, we're all keen to, like, I guess, go to the next step and make a zombie movie in Australia or something like that. I've been talking to some other creators. I mean, a lot of comic book artwork is very similar to storyboarding for movies. Some of the guys who worked on a comic have worked for movie or television companies in doing storyboarding. Yeah, it is a step we'd like to get towards, but there's nothing in the works at the moment. I'm working on a couple of movie scripts, but they're taking a long time as well.
Well, you certainly got the passion and the drive for it. I reckon it's only a matter of time, seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I even met one director recently who's actually produced his own comics, so he's definitely keen on comic books as well.
Oh, good. It's sort of the other way around, isn't it?
But yeah, exactly, yeah.
How do you go from an idea, writing a story for it, and then the artwork comes along later for someone else, or is it the other way around?
I write the story, and then I find an artist to match. Quite often, I have people contacting me saying, oh, we heard you're making a comic, you're looking for artists. I'm always looking for more artists. And so they'll send me samples of their work. If it's good enough, I'll choose someone's style that I think suits the story and give them the story. In one respect, I'm actually very lucky in that I've got hundreds of story ideas in my head. I just can't get them down on paper fast enough.
All right. Well, how can people get in touch? I've mentioned the website before, but is there any other way that they can... You're on Facebook or...?
Oh, yes, we're on Facebook as well. There's actually a couple sites on Facebook. There's a Facebook group and a Facebook page.
Oh, okay, cool.
We're slowly going to try and, I guess, phase out the group because it's not something we're working too well, and, you know, get everyone over onto the Facebook page. Also, all my contact details are on the website, email address. People can email me directly, darkoz.dk@bigpond.com. Yeah, I'd love to hear from anyone who's interested in contributing, either writing stories or doing the artwork.
We don't want you to disappear, no way. Look, just because you live in Adelaide, it's not the end of the world. Sorry for that.
This is national. There's everyone all around Australia. Even the printing's done here. Well, done here in Adelaide. Oh, I try to keep everything gorgeous in Australia as much as
possible. Yeah. I think that's important and really good, and it's going to show the rest of the world, and that's online communities and stuff, and that's really important to get it out there. Now, I suppose you've heard, just before I let you go, of OzCon coming to Australia?
Yes, I've only recently heard about it. There's apparently, and they're coming to Adelaide.
Oh.
Their first show is in Adelaide.
Adelaide and Melbourne.
And I will be at both those shows.
Fantastic, because we hope to be there too. All right, hey, Darren. Or DK, it's been great talking to you about DK from Dark Oz Productions in Adelaide. Thanks for speaking to us on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Hi, and welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam. My name is Nichols Winding Refn, and this is one of my favorite shows.
Everybody listening Japan. Japanese Hell Driver Director Nishimura Yoshihiro. Konbanwa. This is Sci-Fi and Screen on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Isabel Carmody with Sonia, Sci-Fi and Screen on Joy 94.9.
Yes, Isabel Carmody, we'll be playing the interview I had with her in, I would say, a few more weeks, because we're getting pretty busy here. This is Sonia on Sci-Fi and Scream, and I'm with James. James is here from Milk Shadow Books, and that was a track from 30 Seconds from Mars with that song called Was It a Dream? Not sure if it was a dream, but we're going to be talking about a nightmare coming up shortly when I play the interview I had with Lawrence R. Harvey from The Human Centipede 2. The full sequence due for release here in Australia from Thursday the 17th. That's this week. Now, James, we heard a little bit about Darren from DK, from Dark Oz, and you can go to his site, which is www.darkoz.com.au to find out more. Also, our Facebook has got plenty of links there, and our Facebook address, of course, is Sci-Fi and Squeam. So head to facebook.com/Sci-Fi and Squeam. You can also go to our blog, which is sci-fi-and-squeam.blogspot.com, or head to Joy's website, of course, joy.org.au. And what's coming up for you for 2012? You want to make an announcement, don't you?
Well, we got heaps of new stuff coming out. So we've got stuff by, drop a whole bunch of names here, but like Tim Malloy, Ben Hutchings, Bruce Mutard, Luke Pickett. I've got some new stuff coming out. So we've got a heap of new graphic novels coming out and trade paperbacks. And we're moving into books next year, so things with spines, which is going to be exciting.
Instead of spineless?
Yeah, no spineless things anymore.
Not Human Centipede?
Yeah, would like that, but yeah.
Sorry, bad segue.
Yeah, no, it's good.
All right, no, it's been great having you on the show. Again, do you want to just flaunt or flout your website?
Yeah, so it's www.milkshadowbooks.com, and you can go there and you can sign up for the newsletter or just have a look around. We're still in the works of getting all the site happening, but you can also join the Facebook page. It's just Milk Shadow Books. Just like that one and you can keep up with all the info going on there. And feel free to drop us an email if you like the stuff, hate the stuff, or want to submit anything, or of course buy something. That's always good too. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. And thanks, Matilda, for hanging in there and being supportive, doing the foot massages. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, James. That's James from Milk Shadow Books. So check that out and head to our Facebook too if you want to know more. And just click away as you do on your little computer. Now, you can SMS us on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Now, I don't have any prizes tonight, but I have got a couple more interviews to play, and the next one is with a director called John Hewitt. He's an Aussie director. He's based in Sydney, King's Cross of all things, and his new film is called X, and that's out this November the 24th through the Hoyts chain, and in Sydney it will be released through them December the 1st, and in Melbourne Cinema Nova November 24th, as I said. So I caught up with him on the phone over the weekend. This is John Hewitt, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9, and I'm on the line with director, writer and producer John Hewitt from Sydney, and he's going to talk to us about his film that is due for release very soon. In fact, Melbourne November 24th, Sydney 1st of December. It's called X. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream, John.
Thanks, Sonia.
Great. Good to have you here, all the way in from Sydney. So can you tell us a little bit about X?
It's a thriller that takes place in King's Cross, a contemporary film. It's about a couple of prostitutes and what happens to them sort of over one night. A high-end escort, played by Viv Bianca, who's sort of decided she's quitting the game, and this is her last night on the job. And a young runaway from Brisbane, or, you know, the Gold Coast or whatever, who sort of gets off the bus at Central in Sydney and walks up to the Cross and starts hooking. And it's sort of first night in the job, if you like. And, you know, fate brings them together. They see something they shouldn't, and go on the longest night of their lives. I mean, generically, it's a thriller with, you know, an erotic thriller, very much like a roller coaster ride, very fast moving. But, you know, Beneath the Surface is probably a movie about, like, changing your life, you know, those sorts of common desires, and I don't know, you know, the possibility of redemption and all that sort of stuff.
Yes, well, I've read here that you've described it as a film where two women are on screen for that entire film. That's quite rare in itself, to have complex female characters showing. I believe it was every single shot. I wasn't trying to count them, but I was concentrating.
Well, yeah, it doesn't happen that often, good. Unfortunately. No. Like, you know, we live in a patriarchal society, certainly the society that makes movies that get released commercially. And, yeah, it's, you know, I don't know, I've just always been attracted to making stories where women are significant characters. The screenplay is written by Belinda McClory, and it's produced by Lizette Eck and cut by Cindy Clarkson, and stars Viva Bianca, Hannah Mangan Lawrence in the lead role. So, I mean, it's there's a lot of women involved in the film.
Yes.
Even though, one of the most common sort of negative responses to the film, if you can call it that, is one of it being perhaps misogynist the film doesn't shy away from the violence that goes on the street. But, you know, I've always, in all my films, I've liked strong female characters, sort of dish it out as well as take it. I like trying to sort of make things that are truthful in some way, you know, and making a film about prostitutes, I wanted the sex to be quite graphic and real. I can't say people having sex and having then getting sex out of bed with their underwear on, you know, and stuff like
yes
that. It's just not really what cinema is about.
Yeah.
And I like the violence to be truthful and brutal. When it happens, I think the cinema is a pretty safe place to experience violence and try and understand it.
Well, yeah. It reminds me a little bit of, I guess, currently on television, Australian television, there is that whole sort of genre in itself, like the underbelly and the criminal underworld, although that doesn't go into that to me in the same sort of depth, but it's looking more at from the point of view of two women. One is the total parallels. We don't know pretty much where Shay's come from, and that's played remarkably by the young Hannah Mangan Lawrence. She says she's from up north. I don't think at any other time in the film she mentions exactly where, but
no, she doesn't. I mean, at the beginning of the film, she's cutting a t-shirt, "I Love Dreamworld," which is
Fun
Park. And we always had in our minds that she was going to sort of come down from basically somewhere like Coolangatta or Tweedhead.
Yeah.
I mean, Hannah and I made a movie up in Queensland in 2008 called Acolyte, so we had that shared experience of been stuck for 3 months on the Gold Coast. So
not a lot to do except go to Splash World or Dream World or wherever it is.
Stuff like that, nice place to be.
And then you've got the opposite, which is Viva Bianca as Holly.
Yeah, she's a high-end escort who, you know, charges probably $1,000 an hour, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, she's decided to, she's drawn a line in the sand, and she's reached it, and
yeah,
it's her last night on the job, and there's just a couple more jobs to do, and then, she's on a plane.
Spoiler alert.
Fantasy escape from the most common human experience, that desire to something better to happen to you, or quit your job, or get out of a terrible relationship, or move cities, or whatever. You know, like everybody sort of goes through it numerous times over their life.
Yeah, no, true enough. And it did remind me of some American similar films from a little bit of Scorsese. I had a sense of almost Brian De Palma as well in a couple of the scenes, and the split screen that you use.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I love both those filmmakers, obviously, and it's almost impossible to make a movie of this genre without it being resonant of stuff that they've done in the past. But, yeah, certainly Brian De Palma's a massive influence on me. I love his films. I just wanted to have a bit of split screen going on because, I don't know, you don't really see it all that often.
No.
I had to fight to keep that in there, and I mainly wanted to keep it in there ultimately because everybody wanted to take it out.
What do they know?
Yeah.
And so
I get to win in those situations.
And so how long has it taken for you to bring X to the screen?
Belinda and I wrote the first draft of the script in 1999. It had its first screening at the Berlin Film Festival in the European film market February this year.
How did that go? How was the response to that?
Oh, look, the film has sold remarkably well internationally. Mm. It's certainly punched above its weight. It's already been released in the US and Germany, and released in the UK early next year. Yeah, it's been quite successful.
I guess for me, I mean, I'm not going to talk about the ending, but the ending made me feel, is there a sequel? Do you know what? I wanted to know what happened to the character. It just made me feel, where is that? How do you find an escape from a situation like that? But I'm not going to go into much detail because I don't want to spoil it for people going to see it, of course.
Well, hopefully, personally, I like life to go on, and I like movies not to absolutely be tied up in a neat bow. And there can be this sense that, a certain aspects of the story have been resolved, but, you know, like, we end with Shay's character, and she's a 17-year-old girl, and she's got a, hopefully got a long life ahead of her, and hopefully the experience that she's been through is going to be give her the intestinal fortitude, as well as some other things, to perhaps break out of the situation that she's found herself. You know, I'd definitely make a sequel if somebody wanted to find it.
Well, it's a very good-looking film, I've got to say, stylistically. Every image, every shot, you can see you've carefully thought it out. Even though you're saying it's got that pace, it's still very thought out. All right, well, it's fantastic talking to you. Thanks so much, John. All the best for X.
Thank you.
And, yeah, we certainly hope to hear more about you and your career in the future. Keep up the style, because it's a great-looking film. I appreciate your time today.
I appreciate that. Thanks
all right. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Oskar Hillstrom, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
And this is Sonia back from Sci-Fi and Squeam Land. No, I'm actually here. Now, that was an interview I had with John Hewitt, the Australian Sydney Sider, the director of X. Now, as I said, X is local, and it's coming out very shortly. In fact, November 24th. So head to the cinema if you want to check that out. It's worth a peek, indeed. Now I'm going to play Lawrence R. Harvey, the wonderful British actor that is over here to promote Tom Six's follow-up to The Human Centipede number one. It's Human Centipede number two, no surprises. It's called The Full Sequence. And here's the chat I had with him earlier. You're listening to Sonia on Sci-Fi and Squeam. This is Joy, 94.9. Sci-Fi and Squeam. And tonight on Sci-Fi and Squeam, I have a very special guest in the studio with me. Now, this person, this man, is part of the sequel to one of the most controversial films in horror genre anyway, from last year of 2010. Now, this year, it's number two. It's called The Human Centipede 2, The Full Sequence. For those who don't know, the film is certainly building momentum to become even more controversial. We'll see. Aha, I hear a laugh and you're wondering, what on earth is that noise? That is my guest here, Lawrence R. Harvey, from The Human Centipede 2, The Full Sequence. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Right, so welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam. Is this your first time in Australia?
Yes, I've never been to Australia before. Tom Six hates flying, so he said, did I want to do the press and publicity over here? Guys at Monster Pictures were well up for that.
They're very keen. And you're here to promote Human Centipede number two to Australia.
But I know we're in Brisbane and Sydney, and we're going to Perth as well. I know before the screening on Thursday, we're somewhere else on Wednesday. We've got another midnight screening in another city. I'm trying to remember what it is, but I'm a bit jet lagged. So I just got in this morning. So
from very winter Britain.
Yeah, yes, cold, drizzly. It's like summer. So we didn't get a summer in Britain this year. So you've nicked it. It's here.
Obviously, there's been some controversy about Human Centipede number two in the UK, for example. Initially, I believe it was banned, and then they cut it up. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, the BBFC would say they didn't ban it. What they did was they rejected it because it was submitted uncut originally. Eureka submitted it uncut, thinking that the BBFC would then give them a list of cuts to take out. Because there are a couple of moments where Martin does inflict sexual violence upon himself because he's kind of stunted in his emotional and social development. And there's these feelings, and his own personal history means that he's kind of conflicted about his feelings of sexuality in his own body. And there's also a scene where he rapes the centipede as a whole. But also, that scene's kind of odd because it also seems like he's trying to join in with the centipede as well. Right. So it's not just a straight kind of reading. But the BBFC said that the whole film permeated with a feeling of sexual violence, which, you know, I completely disagree with. I think it's the violence of somebody that's been picked upon and is powerless, and the way that they focus on somebody powerful in order to get some justification for their own kind of feelings and act it out in a bad way.
I was about to say, acting out. It sounds like someone who's taking the acting out to the next extreme.
Yes, yeah, well, it's that kind of, it is a satire on that tabloid notion of somebody that watches a horror film and becomes obsessed,
yes, and
then
does
acts it out.
Yes, exactly.
But it's a satire that, you know, like the Mr. Creosote insult scene in Monty Python's Meaning of Life. It's like the horror film equivalent of that. It just goes so far and so over the top. By the end, it's this kind of grand guignol. What? Did they just do that? You know.
And you can't believe it.
Yeah.
That's happened.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit, probably jumped a bit ahead here. Tell us a bit about the character you play, Martin. Martin is being described as Martin Lomax, I believe his name is, as an asthmatic, overweight, mentally ill, middle-aged, short British man.
No, that was the description of me.
Hi, Pollyanna McIntosh. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Greg Capullo, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
No. Okay, so you're a victim. Well, the characters.
Yeah.
You're a victim of the tabloids now. But the character's a victim of sexual abusers, living with his verbally abusive mother. You're a security guard during the day in an underground car park, and you seem to have a. This character has a fetish fascination for the first Human Centipede movie, which you watch obsessively. Martin?
Kind of in the basics. I think the fixation on Dr. Heiter is also a kind of search for a father figure. In the story, his own father, Martin's own father, sexually abused him whilst he was growing up, and the father figure that the mother's trying to impose or bring into the family, the figure of the doctor, is also dubious motives for being involved with family. And so Martin fixates on, because he's powerless, he fixates on this powerful figure of Dr. Heiter, who he misguidedly kind of wants to emulate. I mean, I think Martin is a sympathetic character because he is, you know, a victim and an underdog. But when we did the cast and crew screening, a friend of mine came along who's an artist, and she said she was sat there, and by the end she said she just wanted to run into the film and give Martin a big hug and tell him not to do the bad thing. Because you just see Martin doing, well, his first mistake is trying to emulate Dr. Heiter, and each kind of bad decision gradually kind of ups the kind of ridiculousness and the kind of horror of the situation. And it is just a series of bad decisions. I mean, but Martin is a problem solver, you know. Some of the reviewers have said that he's mentally disabled, but coming from a kind of disability art kind of background myself, and I was very kind of specific with Tom about not making him mentally disabled. You see thought processes, you see him problem solving, but he is kind of socially and emotionally retarded because of the background of abuse that he comes from. And I think it works, it reads that way. And I think he isn't aware of how to deal with his own emotions or own feeling.
Because it reminds me a little bit of a similar film, Lucky McKee's May. Perhaps not as extravagantly extreme, but May is a character who also has come from an abusive background and collects dolls, and so she can't make relationships, so she makes someone out of parts of things that she likes on each person. Dismember people as she goes to make a quilt of a human. And that was some of the interview I had with Lawrence R. Harvey. If you'd like to hear more of that, certainly indeed I will podcast it in the next few days here on Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. So this is Sonia signing off. Next week we will be looking at The Joy of Nerd, The Birth of Geek, and I'll be talking to Kerry Callahan from Geek Girl Con from Seattle, US, and we'll also have Darren from Con from Outer Space, Con 9 from Outer Space, which is on next year, and hopefully some more guests, including David Geek from Sydney. So it's going to be a fun show. This was Sonia and Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Sci-Fi and Squeam was synthesized and squashed into shape by Sonia. For more information, visit our Facebook page, Sci-Fi and Squeam, or check out joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.